My favorite holiday is coming up, and I want to talk about that a little bit. And I'm not talking about tomorrow. In fact, I hate Halloween. And not just because parts of it are evil. Now, I don't think that the dressing up, trick-or-treating, that stuff, I don't think that's evil. But there's so much of it that's evil. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And so much of Halloween tends to be that way. And when I was a kid, you know, that's when they started coming out with putting needles and pixie sticks and razor blades and apples. I didn't like that. One of the things, though, that really turned me off of Halloween, my parents never bought me a costume. I always had to make up my own costume. And being the typical boy, I was clueless that October 31st was Halloween. Until I was walking to school, and I saw the other kids dressed up. I was like, oh, it's Halloween, and here I am not dressed up again. And then school, they would do this awful thing. I don't know if any of you ever had to do this, where they would do the little parade through all the classrooms. Any of you ever have to do that? And so those of us that didn't have costumes, because I never had a costume at school, had to go in the back of the line. Well, I was always, and if those of you that knew me then, I was the biggest, fattest kid in class. And so I was at the end of the line, and going through the older classrooms, the older kids, it was just terrible. Oh, look at that one. What, he must be an elephant, or he must be a hippo. Oh, I hate Halloween. And so Veterans Day is coming up. That's not my favorite holiday. I'm very thankful for the veterans. Okay. What's my favorite holiday? No, it's not Christmas. Yes, Rudy, it is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. Some people say I like Thanksgiving because of all the food. I enjoy the food, but I have lots of food all the time, so it doesn't make much of a difference. And it used to be because of football, but I stopped watching the NFL about 5 years ago, so it's not that, although there is college football. It's my favorite time of year. September, October, November, my favorite time of year. I like December, everything leading up to Christmas. I enjoy that time too. But Thanksgiving, I enjoyed it as a kid. Growing up, I enjoyed it. And we have so much for which to be thankful. And if you would, go ahead and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, I read this every Thanksgiving. I consider this my Thanksgiving psalm. And so we're going to read the whole psalm, all five verses. Psalm 100, starting in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So this is one thing that I do every Thanksgiving. But there's something else that I have found here in Psalms, which intrigues me. And I figured, you know what? Today would be a good day to talk about it. You're lucky. You get to hear what I went over for myself. Please turn to 116th Psalm and verse 17. And again, this interests me because the idea of being thankful, being grateful, thanksgiving, I appreciate it. I really enjoy it. And here we see in verse 17 of Psalm 116, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. I used to think, well, how hard is that to offer sacrifice of thanksgiving? Well, there were in the Old Testament, the Jews had five main types of sacrifices. A couple of them were mandatory. One was the sin sacrifice, which you can read about in Leviticus chapter 4, 5, 6, 8, and 16. The trespass sacrifice, which you can read about in Leviticus 5, 6, and 7. And then there were some voluntary or free will sacrifices. They were the burnt sacrifice, Burnt sacrifice, level in Leviticus 1, 6, and 8. Grain with drink sacrifice was in Leviticus 3, 6, and Numbers 15. And the peace sacrifice, which is in Leviticus 3 and 7. And go ahead and turn to Leviticus chapter 7, please. Leviticus 7, and we're going to start in verse 11. And again, this is talking about peace offerings, and starting here in verse 11, and this is a law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offered for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offering. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. So we see here that the sacrifice of thanksgiving is one of the peace offerings. Again, it is a free will sacrifice. And we can see here what we read here in Leviticus 7. It's a meal. We're going to have a meal after the service. And doesn't that kind of indicate a fellowship? And so with this sacrifice of thanksgiving that the Old Testament Jews offered, it was symbolic of the fellowship between the worshiper and God. Please turn over to chapter 22 in verse 29. And Andrea, I thought about you most of the time I was preparing for this lesson, because you know that sometimes I have the habit of trying to go through the whole Bible every lesson. And so back when I used to teach the college age kids. Okay, verse 29. And when ye shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, it is at your own will. So we get to offer this at our own will. It is not something mandatory. And if we are, why then would we offer a free will sacrifice of thanksgiving? What does it indicate? It indicates, obviously, being thankful. Donna, you're very smart. Yes. Being thankful and also our love for God. If we want to offer a sacrifice to God for love and thankfulness, shouldn't it be a worthy sacrifice? I would think that you'd want it to be a worthy sacrifice. No offense, Pastor Lance, but what you just said about the gift for the pen, that's really not putting very much effort into it, is it? And so if we're going to offer a sacrifice to God, we should want to put some effort into it. Amen. It should cost us, it may cost us something. 2 Samuel 24, in verse 24, if you don't want to turn there, that's fine. Again, I'm going to, there's a few other verses I'm going to have you turn to. But 2 Samuel 24, 24, and this is David talking. And the king, King David, said to Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor, and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So I wonder if one part of this peace offering may have been a sacrifice of thanksgiving that he offered. So what do we have that's worthy to offer God? Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that's something that we can offer that is pretty valuable. We kind of think of our bodies and our lives as pretty valuable. So that's something that we can offer to God, that's a worthy sacrifice. If you offer a sacrifice, it should be sincere. How many of you ever had siblings that you got in trouble with? And did your parents ever tell you, now say you're sorry? And then did they say, now say it like you mean it? Okay, we're going to see that right here in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Pharisees, oh, they said some nice things. They weren't sincere one bit. They didn't mean anything to them. To them, it was just words that was coming out. Lori has mentioned how growing up in the Catholic Church, you would have to say things. You have to repeat them after the priest. It didn't, as a child, she said, it didn't mean anything to her because she was just repeating it. It meant nothing to her. But for us, as adults, thankful for what God's done for us, our sacrifice of thanksgiving should be sincere. And so if we love God, which again is what the sacrifice of thanksgiving is, it's saying that we love God and we're thankful for his blessings, we should be obedient. And 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. And this is when Samuel is talking to King Saul. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So if we're going to offer a sacrifice, we should do it because we love God. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He also mentions something, John also mentions it again in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. So all these that we have gone over has to do with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I am glad that we don't have to offer the burnt sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. Pastor Lance, you'd get really good at butchering. That would, to me, have any of you ever thought about what it would be like, though, if you were an Old Testament Jew and you'd have to sacrifice animals every time you'd come into the temple or the synagogue? It would be animals that were being sacrificed. That would seem really interesting. I'm thankful we don't have to do that. Amen. Yes. But our sacrifice of thanksgiving should be kind of the natural expression of a Christian. Psalm 92 and verse 1. We see here in Psalm 92 verse 1. Is it a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High? There's also in Colossians 3:17, it talks about this as well, that as a believer, as a Christian, we should have this spirit of thankfulness. It should just flow out of us naturally. As believers, who should be more thankful than us? No one. Now, University of Michigan's football coach a few years ago started this thing with his team. Who has it better than us? No, am I close to saying that right, Bob? Who has it better than us? Okay, and so nobody. Okay, but as a Christian, who has it better than us? No one has it better than what we have. And for that, we ought to be thankful. Do you know that scientifically, studies have been done which prove some of the benefits of thankfulness? Wow. God knows what he's talking about. Can you believe that? Okay, here are some of the examples. Okay. Increased happiness and positive mood. More satisfaction with life. Less materialistic. Less likely to experience burnout. Better physical health. Better sleep. Less fatigue. This kind of goes along with better sleep. Lower levels of cellular inflammation, which, by the way, will really help someone feel better if you can decrease some of the inflammation. Greater resiliency and encourages the development of patience, humility, and wisdom. Wow. So again, science is kind of proving what God has already told us. So we should be thankful, but does it also benefit us? As we see here, studies have shown it definitely benefits us. So did you know, though, that there are some dangers of ingratitude or being unthankful? Now, Robert Emmons, who apparently is a preeminent scholar in the field, that always kind of makes me grin whenever I see a preeminent scholar. Whenever I see that, I wonder, well, what makes them preeminent? Is it because they got published? Well, that's okay. If someone's published, does that mean that they are the preeminent scholar? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people who have published things about this. But he does have something interesting to say. In 2013, he offers some of the characteristics of ingratitude. Excessive sense of self-importance. Arrogance. Vanity. Unquenchable need for admiration and approval. And a sense of entitlement. Pastor Lance, you've talked about that recently, about a sense of entitlement. We see that a lot in our society, don't we?
That's right.
A sense of entitlement. Do we also see a lack of thankfulness and gratitude? So they do go together, don't they? So there is a sense of entitlement. Oh, you owe me. I deserve this. We as believers realize, what do we deserve? Say that again, Pastor Stephen.
Hellfire.
That's right. As those of you that might be listening online, Pastor Stephen said hellfire, which is what we deserve. Okay? God is a God of love, but God is also a righteous God and cannot allow sin into heaven. And so we realize we have a lot to be thankful for and that we don't deserve anything. Now, guess what? God talks about that too. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 20. Romans 1, starting in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Verse 21 again, let's read that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then in verses 29, 30, 31, we read about all these characteristics of people. And what started it? Two things back here in verse 21. They glorified not God, and what were they not? They weren't thankful. Is there a danger to not being thankful? We see it right here.
That's right.
We have so much for which to be thankful. I know I've said that again. I'm just kind of trying to reiterate that so you get my point. It was kind of interesting. Some of the things that I looked up for the scientific benefits of gratitude and being thankful. It also talked about, oh, well, if you don't know how to be thankful, here are some ways to be thankful. You know, like you can write down notes, or you can send a note to someone. Okay, so I guess we can write down notes every day for the blessings that God gives us, right? But do you know, again, we saw that God wrote the dangers of being unthankful, but there's a biblical way that we can demonstrate gratitude. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful to God for all things. Now, we can probably all name something for which we're thankful. And I know that the more righteous of us would raise their hand, well, I'm thankful for salvation. Well, yes, obviously. But what about some physical things? I want to give you an example of something for which I am very thankful for. Running hot water. I am very thankful for running hot water. Bob, you can appreciate this. Lori now likes to keep the house about 45 degrees. Not quite. Am I exaggerating a little bit?
65.
Okay. So in the morning when I get up, it's cold. And I am very thankful I can take a hot shower in the morning before I go to work. So I'm very thankful for running hot water. And that's just one thing. I mean, I'm thankful for the home in which I live, for the vehicle, even though my vehicles are old. They're not quite adults yet, but they're older, have quite a few miles on them. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my family. So these are all things for which I'm thankful. First, go ahead now, please, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we see here, we saw in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're to be thankful for all things. Everything that we have, we should be thankful for it. And in verse Thessalonians here, we should be thankful for God in every situation. This really struck home, a few years ago. Lori and the kids, we had all three of them were in the back seat, and she was on 53 heading south. And at that time, it was just two lanes. Someone was turning left onto Ebling, but you can only turn left onto Ebling. And so she was stopped. She was about, the eighth car in line? Something like that. And some young kid in a smaller pickup didn't stop in time and rear-ended her. But the vehicle ended up being totaled by the insurance company. Why should I be thankful for that? And everything give thanks. I'm thankful that none of my family was injured. Right? So I'm thankful for that. How about cancer? Should we be thankful for cancer? Should I be thankful that Lori's had cancer? No. But I'll tell you what I am thankful for. Last year when she had the surgery, there was a concern, and the surgeon told us that depending on what she found when she went in there, she may have to do bowel reconstruction. I really didn't want Lori to have to go through bowel reconstruction. So I'm thankful, one, that we have the technology now one, to find the cancer, two, to do the surgery to help remove it. And I was very thankful to God we did not have to do the bowel reconstruction. Am I thankful for the cancer? No. But in everything, give thanks. I was thankful that we did not have to go through any of that, that Lori did not have to go through any of that. And I'm sure if you think about any of these situations in your life, you can look back and say, you know what, I didn't like this, but I am thankful it wasn't this. Or because of this, something else good did come out of it. And so, again, coming up upon my most favoritist holiday, I know that's not proper English, I'm sorry, Amy, for my most favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. Again, we have so much for which to be thankful. And today, as we celebrate the church's 66th anniversary, we should be thankful for Covenant Baptist Church. The fact that it teaches us the truth. As Pastor Lance has mentioned, and as Paul has mentioned in the past, and as my dad has mentioned before that, there are a number of churches, we'll use that term loosely, out there, which teach a lot of things, and none of it's the truth. And a lot of it is just feel-good stuff. And, oh, if you do this, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Maybe. Maybe not. But as believers, as I mentioned, we have so much for which to be thankful. And I'm thankful I was able to get through this lesson. Because when I was preparing this, I thought, there is no way I'm going to get through this. And Paul just got up to go ring the bell, so... pretty good timing. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time, Lord, that we had to look in your word. And Lord, we are thankful for all your blessings, Lord. We're thankful for the Covenant Baptist Church and for the anniversary that we're able to celebrate today. Lord, I would be with, as you be with the morning service, please be with Paul as he preaches to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.